his feet sack. Ran into a liquor store, they asked what you do. Wearing FUBU, what was my man do through the back? Don't come through. I said, mercy, boo, too. If they ask you, was I running, tell them bastards I flew. Made it to the hood, plan to catch a few flicks. Police did a raid, terrorizing cruise ship. Busting those beating mamas while they making cool whip. Face down, getting dirt on my back to school fit. My neighbor next to me got black and blue lips. When the fuse lit, you gon' see the view flip. Kick our boot up, they ask, ask them if the shoe fit. Till then, they wanna see us pushing up two lips. Break my nuts so much shit, I think I'm sterile. Got up, brushed the gravel off my apparel. This girl, Cheryl, got parole violation. Said she was high cause of people dilation. If you never been to jail now since affinity, you get searched living in this vicinity. Or harassed, keep the shit, I mean to live in daylight. Wouldn't be no dope slanging if McDonald's pay right. The ruling class shit's dope to you and me. And don't get arrested, is this lunacy? Or is it diplomatic immunity? Is it a war on drugs or just my community?
And you are listening to San Francisco Liberation Radio News, 93.7 FM, here on your radio dial, commercial free since 93. We've got a great show lined up for you guys tonight. Stuff from Venezuela, stuff from your own home state of California. But first, let's go straight to the headlines. Palestine action alert. Israeli bulldozers will destroy the entire village of Al-Daba in the Khaled district. The village consists of 250 Palestinians living in 42 houses. 60-ton American-made armored Caterpillar D9 bulldozers will make short work of those 42 houses, 600 to 700 dunams of agricultural land, a mosque, and an elementary school for 132 children. The military order was issued 30 days ago and required the clearing of 50 meters of land next to the billion-dollar wall, financed by the United States, of course, being built to separate Palestinian land from Israel in the northern part of the West Bank. The clearing operation has exceeded its orders, and now the destruction will extend 500 meters into the West Bank and engulf the village of Al-Daba. The Al-Daba land confiscation is just the latest outrage of land stealing. Thus far, since 1967, Israel has confiscated 750,000 acres of the 1.5 million acres of Palestinian land in the West Bank and Gaza. Ariel Sharon initiated land confiscation and settlement construction in 1967 as Israel's Minister of Housing. Support the people of Al-Daba and send messages to demand intervention to prevent its destruction. Contact your American consulate at their Jerusalem email at... A little typo here. I'll tell you what, when I repost it tonight, I will have it up for you guys on sfindymedia.org. Look for it on the newswire. Oakland teach-ins revolutionize education. Schools held 1960s-style teach-ins yesterday against President Bush's possible war in Iraq, encouraging students to remember Martin Luther King Jr.'s message of nonviolence on his birthday today and urging them to march against the war. About 25 Oakland public schools had speakers in classrooms and assemblies, and most students were not shy about expressing their views on the subject of another Persian Gulf War. School board members and Superintendent Dennis Chacones declared themselves firmly against another Iraq war when the board approved the teach-ins in November. But all agreed the events would be non-biased and present all sides of the issue. The problem organizers said was that they couldn't find anyone to represent a, quote, pro-war side. Invitations were sent to the State Department and Senator Dianne Feinstein, but were declined, said school board member Dan Siegel, who proposed the teach-ins. That's pretty fucking awesome. Go to www.sfindymedia.org to check out some actual live video from that. So that should be up within the next couple of days, I'm sure. All right, Brazil adds Enviro to their cabinet. Senator Marina Silva became the new environment minister yesterday, promising much hard work and determination in answering the questions which the country is asking in order to improve the living conditions of the populations. I have faith in God, in the Brazilian people, and in our team, that we will create the means to define an economic policy with environmental qualities, said the new minister. The senator, an ex-rubber tapper, was sworn in during a ceremony at the IBAMA headquarters yesterday. Quote, Lula said his victory is not the product of an election, but of a story. That is what I feel in relation to my personal trajectory. It is the result of values cultivated in difficult times, in the union of family life, and is influenced by three sources of inspiration. My Christian faith, my father, the rubber tapper Pedro Agostinho, and by Chico Mendes. It is the result particularly of my participation in the social movement, which has contributed decisively to the creation of the, quote, socio-environmental concept, defending the forest and the people who live in it as one one dissociable objective. Part of this effort will be the recuperation of springs, forests, promoting access to drinking water, even large-scale sanitation projects. The United Nations has proclaimed 2003 the International Year of Fresh Water. In 2004, water will be the theme of the National Conference of Brazilian Bishops campaign, putting the question firmly on the political agenda. We will work together with these and other partners to confront this problem. Well, it won't be just confronting it. It will also be breaking into conferences held by the WTO and the FTAA because, of course, they're part of the problem why none of us have fresh drinking water or clean forests for indigenous people to live in. Right? All right. Fighting Navy use of sonar. The U.S. Navy is blasting extremely powerful sonic waves called low-frequency active sonar into the ocean to detect quiet submarines. At close range, the noise is millions of times more intense than what the Navy considers safe for divers and billions of times more intense than the levels known to disturb large whales. Many marine animals use hearing as we use vision. It's dark half a mile underwater, just for those of you who don't know. Active sonar has caused fatal hemorrhaging in the brains, eyes, and ears of whales and dolphins. The U.S. Navy plans to deploy this system in over 80% of the world's oceans as soon as possible. You can help stop this dangerous and senseless technology by contacting Seaflow at www.seaflow.org. China questions the death penalty. Powerful arguments in favor of abolishing the death penalty in China have been voiced at a recent conference, which marks a significant step forward in one of the country's most sensitive human rights areas. This was the first debate of its kind to be reported in the Chinese press, and the abolitionist argument was put more strongly than before, reflecting a growing willingness on the part of the authorities to let the issue be aired. Nearly all the Chinese academics taking part supported abolition and called for a start to be made by strictly limiting its use. Beijing keeps the number of executions secret, but in 2001, Amnesty International recorded more than 4,000 death sentences and nearly 2,500 executions in China, far more than the combined total for the rest of the world. China uses the death penalty for a wide range of, quote, economic crimes, including corruption and the theft of antiques, as well as for murder. Execution is usually carried out by a bullet to the head, although some provinces are experimenting with using lethal injections. The conference, organized jointly by the Law Institute of the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences and the Danish Institute of Human Rights, was held last month at Jiangtan in Hunan province. So, like, if I stole George Bush, like, as an antique, I would be murdered? It's pretty sad. I wonder how many executions the U.S. has during a year, though. It looks like China might actually beat us in the war against getting rid of the death penalty. That's pretty fucking sick. All right. Labor warns Blair on war against Iraq. An overwhelming majority of Labor's senior officials are telling Tony Blair that he must not go to war against Iraq without UN approval. With Mr. Blair facing an anxious meeting of the Parliamentary Labor Party today, a survey for the Times of Labor's constituency chairman shows that anti-war opinion has hardened and that only 10% would give the Prime Minister unambiguous support. The Times has also learned that Robin Cook, the Commons leader, has been arguing in private that military action should happen only after the passage of a second UN resolution. Blah, blah, just, I mean, everyone's putting all these stipulations on war, like that's going to make a difference of whether or not it's justifiable. A sister of conscience confronts a lack of tolerance for dissent. Free speech can cost you if you're out there protesting in today's chilly climate, where the forecast for dissent is cloudy with a chance of consequences. At a time when even counterculture Cal Berkeley is censoring the anti-war words of the late celebrated anarchist Emma Goldman, reactions to protests can range from dirty looks at work to arrest for civil disobedience. Yes, I know this. More and more people seem to be doing it anyway. Some of them are protesting the build-up to the war with Iraq by marching on sidewalks and park promenades. Some rallied Monday night in Seattle's International District against INS tracking of male visitors from Muslim lands. Others, like the home care workers and teachers demonstrating in Olympia this week, are speaking out in their own self-interest, opposing cuts in pay and health care coverage. Whatever the cause that may escalate you from a letter writer to a sign waiver, it seemed a good time to sit by the fire and get some tips from Sister Maureen Newman, a nun with Seattle's Sisters of Providence. She was arrested on federal trespass charges in Columbus, Georgia, November 16th, with me. She'll only be home for a couple more weeks because on January 27th, she and I, she's a 57-year-old teacher and vice principal, now on sabbatical from St. Therese School, will go south again to prepare for our trial in Columbus, Georgia, with Judge Faircloth, who is really looking forward to seeing us. I can tell by all the nice comments he's made about us in the press. Inform yourself well about the issue you care about. Go to www.soaw.org and learn all about the trial and how you guys can help out. This is definitely a very big issue because it's going to determine, this trial in particular will determine the trajectory of protesting in this country in general. I mean, when it's not even safe for people to protest peacefully and nonviolently, which I don't think you could describe the SOA Watch movement any more than, you know, a grassroots, even remotely religious-based nonviolent movement as something that's equivalent to being an enemy combatant. I mean, that's pretty scary. You know, I mean, this isn't, as the police have tried to make out, this is not like people running around, you know, putting Molotov cocktails like in McDonald's, which I'm not saying is necessarily a bad thing, but it's not like people are doing that. These are a bunch of little old nuns, and they're getting arrested, searched, and detained, and not given their medication. And now they're looking at 6 months in federal prison, where that will only continue. So if you think this is as fucked up as I am, then you should definitely write your congressperson, and stay tuned at Atlanta Indie Media and the San Francisco Indie Media as they cover the coming trial from January 27th to the 20th of February. All right. Up next, we have some live coverage from Venezuela and Caracas from this past week. So stay tuned. Broke off some bread. I said he missing an arm, and he seemed like a peepee head. She said, don't cut. And my teeth to go brush, and get ready for bed, and the toilet to flush. With tears in mama's eyes, I was her everything. Before she went out on a stroll, she tucked me into bed and sing. Just too beautiful. You're just too beautiful. Reminds me of midnight in the dope fiend's eyes, and my 9-year-old self is paramedic sleep. Left to ball my eyes out on the neighbor's sleep. To give illustrations that are clear and clean, I'll take you 2 hours back before this scene. Early in the morning when the sun starts to creep, when the birds start to chirp and crack heads go to sleep. Moms was coming in, I heard her keys go clink. Wearing nothing but pumps, bikini and fake mink. Even though she served for $50 a pop, hardly had enough for rent after Jesus recocked. That day the landlady got a rip before we got his knot. Slam mama's head against the front boat lock. Then the pimp with one arm done horn. And you are tuned to San Francisco Liberation Radio News, 93.7 FM. This is the director of Bolivarian Circles, live in Caracas, Venezuela, from this past week. As you know, there has been a strike that has been issued by the upper class hierarchy in Venezuela that is basically... kept all oil from being exported from the country. People are beginning to starve. Money is not coming into the country. And poor Hugo Chavez, he's got some money pinned down on his head. I at the last count, I know that it was in the thousands, something like $500,000 for his head on a platter or something. So things are getting pretty heated up. And, of course, Bush wants his voice to be heard within this arena, and we have no doubt that he is definitely involved with those same assassination attempts. So check this out. This is live from our news collective stringer, Alicia Grogren from CISPAS. This is from Venezuela, San Francisco Liberation Radio, 93.7 FM.
Sin embargo, además de que eso no es cierto, los países latinoamericanos... los presidentes latinoamericanos, los presidentes a nivel mundial, dicen que no tiene sentido ese referéndum porque eso sería crear un precedente. Si ese referéndum se le aplica a Chávez, porque suponte que pierda popularidad, el presidente Toledo de Perú tiene menos de un año de gobierno y tiene apenas el 10% de popularidad. Si eso pasara, entonces cualquier presidente que viniera después de Chávez, la gente de Chávez también tendría el derecho a hacer otro referéndum consultivo y también sacarlo. Así es, entonces no es bueno de ningún punto de vista. Y la otra opción que tiene la oposición, bueno, definitivamente es dar un golpe de Estado,
the other option to oxygen has, the other option has to do another coup d'etat.
O matar a Chávez.
Or kill Chávez.
Lo cual sería muy terrible, sería terrible, porque Chávez, que tiene por lo menos 3.5 millones de seguidores, esa misma gente que se manifestó en el golpe de Estado en abril, es, bueno, volverá a las calles, sería terrible. Y sería más o menos similar a lo que pasó en Colombia después de la muerte de Gaitán. Gaitán, Eliezer Gaitán fue un líder que murió hace los 50. De ese momento hace una pelea pues entre la guerrilla que quiere tomar el poder popular y los poderes constituidos. Pues, ¿no? A grosso modo, eso es la situación sociopolítica de Venezuela en este momento. Hay un inmenso forcejeo. El gobierno, por supuesto, está manteniendo el control. La oposición está haciendo todos los elementos irracionales posibles para tumbar a Chávez. Cosas como golpear el corazón de la economía, como es PDVSA. Ahora ayer salieron una marcha para desconocer los impuestos. Y evidentemente están desconociendo cuál es el problema. El problema, si ellos creen que el problema es Chávez, tienen que buscar los elementos para salir de Chávez. Es que van a destruir el país y al final Chávez queda igual. Es cuestión de sensatez, por eso. El problema está aquí en que nuestra oposición, si supiéramos, el gobierno no es lo mejor que quisiéramos, no es lo mejor que quisiéramos, pero la oposición es terriblemente mucho peor. El Estado no tiene recursos para ese referéndum. En caso de que el Tribunal Supremo decidiera que sí tiene que financiarlo, pero lo que hemos buscado es que las empresas privadas, las corporaciones, están dispuestas a financiar el referéndum. Eso es lo que dice. De cualquier manera, eso no es vinculante. Va a generar más conflicto político, sin duda, pero legalmente no tiene ningún sentido. Y como sabemos, el Estado es el único que tiene la posibilidad de utilizar la fuerza, el ejército, para controlar a la oposición que anda desbocada.
So the state also has the use of armed forces to control the opposition if they get that. Entonces los empresarios te dan recursos para las campañas durante un referéndum.
Sí, de hecho esta es una campaña no política sino económica. Es una lucha económica realmente. Es económica, como ustedes habrán visto, es un caso realmente único donde Fedecámara y la CTV, que es la Federación de Trabajadores de Venezuela, están unidos. Algo que no entiende nadie. No es una lucha laboral en la búsqueda de intereses de los trabajadores, no es una lucha para la búsqueda de intereses económicos, porque aquí las garantías están garantizadas, la redundancia. No hay suspensión de garantía económica, es una constitución, un Estado más bien capitalista, liberal, no es un Estado socialista. Uno de sus argumentos, dicen, es que la filosofía de este gobierno es la creación de un Castro comunismo, una filosofía socialista tipo Cuba, pero ni la constitución, ni las leyes, ni el mismo actuar del Estado van esa onda. Son principios de capitalismo, libre oferta y demanda, libre mercado. No hay No hay ningún argumento de parte de la empresa privada para esa huelga, ni ningún argumento real de parte de los trabajadores. Solo hay un interés político, que político y económico, donde los empresarios, los grandes oligopolios, los grandes empresarios, y los medios de comunicación social son los que están tratando de hacer una tendencia mundial que los medios de comunicación quieren ser partidos políticos, decisores en la política de los países, no solamente en Venezuela, sino en el mundo. Hay una tendencia mundial de los medios de comunicación mundial a convertirse en decisores en las políticas internas de los países.
¿A lo que es decisor?
Eso es lo que yo le pongo. Se sabe.
Entonces,
los medios se convirtieron, en vez de canales para transmitir la información de la noticia, se convirtieron en la noticia, como saben, lo dicen, no son transmisores, sino que son ellos los actores reales.
Instead of being a channel to transmit of what's happening, it became itself. So they became the actors of the news, like they became the news themselves.
La noticia no es la que pasa, sino la que el medio quiere transmitir. La noticia es el medio.
I, Susan Sarandon.
This is Sting.
Gabriel Byrne.
Patricia Arquette.
Russell Simmons.
In light of recent world events,
reaffirm my belief
in the value of basic human rights.
I believe that no one should be attacked,
imprisoned,
tortured,
executed,
or killed because of their race,
their nationality,
gender,
religion,
or belief. As a citizen of the world,
I join Amnesty International
in condemning the loss of innocent lives, and I call for those responsible to be brought to justice.
We each have the right,
the responsibility,
to stand up to hate crimes of any kind,
and to make the world a safer,
more peaceful place
for every man,
woman, and child,
all the world's citizens.
It's up to you,
me,
us,
to join millions of Amnesty supporters worldwide
to keep the light on human rights.
Call 1-800-AMNESTY
or visit
www.amnestyusa.org.
Se ha convertido en esos cajones de industria maquiladora donde están nuestros campesinos trabajando. Y esto se ha convertido en una situación de hacinamiento de hombres y mujeres que vienen de Guerrero, de Oaxaca, de todo el sur, a trabajar al norte. Porque el norte, donde yo vivo, es extremoso, hace mucho frío y mucho calor. Y no se compara con el clima que se vive ni en Zacatecas, ni en Guerrero, ni en Oaxaca. Nos ha traído miles de problemas de alcoholismo, prostitución, falta de vivienda, porque a ellos les han dado todas las posibilidades de instalarse en colonias pobres, o sea, como aquí parroquias pobres, uh-huh. Y donde les dan agua, luz, todos los servicios, y las colonias, o sea, nuestra gente no tiene nada, carece de agua, de luz, de drenaje.
Y sin pagar impuestos.
Bueno, hace por supuesto. Habría falta un programa especial para terminar de contarte todo lo que...
And if you just tuned in, you're listening to San Francisco Liberation Radio News. This is the News Hour, 6 to 7, every Monday through Thursday here on your FM dial. What you've been listening to is live audio from Venezuela, translated by Alicia Grogan, one of our news collective stringers. And it's a little rockier than I thought it was going to be. But hey, you know what? Guess what? We're Pirate Radio, so get over it. Dun, dun, dun. Actually, I have some hip-hop, too, for you guys that was smuggled out straight from Caracas. And I thought that was going to be it. So let's check this and see if this is what we're looking for. But basically, he's talking about the Chavez regime. And obviously, it is a very politicized and polarized country right now, as advocates are, you know, either extremely for Chavez or the people that hate him, I mean, really hate him. So there is no middle ground, basically, at this point. And I think people realize that his willingness to and his dedication to help the poor at this point will, in some ways, at some point, trickle down into helping the middle class as well. But the upper class at this point are actually leaving their nail salons and their hair salons to take to the streets to basically clamor for the blood of Hugo Chavez. So If you go to www.narconews.com, they've got some great reporting that's coming straight out of Caracas right now by Luis Gomez, one of the reporters that has been in the town for a while, giving an alternative viewpoint as opposed to that expressed by the dreaded AP and Reuters. Let's check this hip-hop out and see if we get what we're looking for. San Francisco Liberation Radio, 93.7 FM. Ah, yeah. Don't you wish you were in Caracas? Yes. We should be, man. Also, stay tuned for coverage of the Merida Convention out of the shadows on the drug war, which will be reported on by 26 authentic journalists that have been given scholarships to come down to Merida to comment on the war on drugs. Tune into Narco News for more on that as well. And hopefully at the Epiphany Media.
Peña, el melo, peñando. porque sabes, me va el año de la pera. El año de la pera pues se va, ¿sabes? El año de la pera se va, ¿sabes? El año de la pera se va, ¿sabes? Porque el pueblo lo sabe, porque el pueblo lo sabe. Ajá. Hugo Chávez fría, si tiene mayoría. Hugo Chávez fría, si tiene mayoría. Hugo Chávez fría, si tiene mayoría. Hugo Chávez fría.
That is live audio, live hip-hop from Venezuela, from Caracas. And that was brought to you by Alicia Grogan, one of the SFLR news stringers, who is just recently back and has done a great job doing some excellent reporting, especially on the Coca-Cola factories that are terrorizing in Colombia right now. So this is Renee Saucedo from this weekend's INS protest. So check this out. Man, Renee Saucedo fucking kicks ass. Here she is. SFLR News, 93.7 FM.
Hello, everyone. I am here to say very loudly and clearly that as immigrant communities and communities of color, we stand united. Because George Bush or INS or whoever the fuck you are, when you lie to one of us, you lie to all of us. And when you detain one of us, you detain all of us. And when you terrorize some of us, you terrorize every single one of us. Because we are being terrorized by U.S. policies which really want an excuse to expand enforcement activities under the guise of national security. Why don't they call it for what it really is? Raid by invitation. Raid by invitation. Detaining people who have pending applications and haven't legalized only because the INS hasn't gotten around to serving them. You bastards! How dare you? Why don't you call it for what it really is? Homeland Security Program, my ass! It should be called Homeland Concentration Program! Homeland Concentration Program, because hundreds of people are being detained only because of who they are. And you don't have to go very far to invoke the historical images of Japanese Americans being interned in this country, or the image of dutiful Jews lining up to comply with Nazi orders to register. That's what they're doing to people in the United States as we speak. We, as members of the Latino community, can relate to the terror caused by indiscriminate INS raids. And we stand with all of you in struggle. Perhaps it's a good time to revive the sanctuary movement, which we, as Latinos, were very much involved in the 80s and 90s, when people in good conscience were forced to resist immoral immigration laws. No human being is illegal. Ningún ser humano es ilegal. We must keep resisting, keep fighting, and never give up. Thank you, people.
Fucking Renee Saucedo, she kicks ass. She kicks ass. I love her. She is, man, she is just like the consummate community activist, and I don't know how she does it, but every single day that woman is 24/7 out there advocating for her community, getting out there and just fighting for the rights of people everywhere, not just Latinos, not just immigrants, but everyone. And man, can we just have her on every single night? Anyway, I have some special guests here.
We're special.
Special guests in the studio with me right now, and one of them is Victoria Woodbury, and one of them is Jim Woodbury, yes. Her son, and Stephanie, his sister. They're all here, and Jim has quite an interesting story to tell us. So
terror,
I'm going to let...
Terror from the...
Yeah.
North.
He's like a little mini terrorist. You're a little mini terrorist, Jim.
Yes.
Just 50 miles north.
Speaking of sanctuary, I shouldn't even be housing you in here. You're illegal.
No, I'm evil.
So basically, you're from Lake Park, California. You go to Terrace Middle School up there. Yeah. And you're in eighth grade. Terrence, yeah, that's right. Well, you used to, I guess.
Yeah.
You used to, but no more. Yeah. And why?
No more. No
why
more.
Do you,
no
why
more
do you regale us with your story?
On October 28th, October 29th, I was kicked out of class for not standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
So anyway, my story.
Believe it. It's what
story
I think I slept through that part of my... intermediary school education.
In his history class, no less.
Yeah. Social studies.
Teaching the Constitution this year.
Yeah, he's teaching the Constitution. It's outrageous. And he warned Jim on October 28th. He said, if you don't stand tomorrow, like I guess it was okay.
Like today.
Yeah.
If you don't stand tomorrow, I'm going to give you a detention.
Weak people always give those really like horrible ultimatums, yeah. And then they just keep pushing it back farther and farther until they...
They'll have to do them.
Exactly.
Yeah, so he did it. He actually
next morning got a detention and went to the office where the great educated teachers, the teachers told me that it was the law that I had to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
The principal and the vice principal.
And, both of them.
And did you ask them for anything when you went into the office? How were you treated?
I was treated just like I was insane and making this a bigger issue than it was supposed to be.
Were you allowed to call your mom?
No, I wasn't until they talked to me. They wouldn't let me call my mom. They said, nope, you can't call your mom until you talk to us about this.
Until we finish.
They were talking about
our will.
They said
we don't want your mom involved because
they told me I was overreacting.
Overreacting. Well, all right then. Well, let's address that. You know, I mean, seriously, Jim. This is, this is a post 9/11 when we're living in an atmosphere where people are either hyper patriotic or very much living in a culture of fear of, you know, what will happen if they, don't support American troops engaged in war, if they don't support a Bush administration that they may not have initially agreed with. They may actually have been one of the people making fun of Bush, but now it's different because now we're in a war atmosphere and people need to rally together and stick together because somehow by doing that we are going to prevent another World Trade Twin Towers.
Yeah. But they're willing to throw away the Constitution in their fear.
Yeah.
They're willing to throw away their freedoms.
Yeah, right. I mean, but why the pledge and why now and why is that so important to you?
I've never stood for the pledge my whole life, and it's only become a problem recently. In the school.
Right.
I mean, I was homeschooled most of my life except for third and fourth grade, and I didn't stand up then either. There was never any problem then, and now there's this teacher telling me that in eighth grade, teaching the Constitution, that I can't, that I have to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. And,
yeah, and he had to sit in the corner and band because he wore a hat.
Oh, yeah, my band teacher, Mr. Biondo. He told
made us stand in the corner.
Clear Lake High School in Lake County, and he told me, I walked into the classroom wearing a hat with an upside-down American flag on it that I made, and he told me that I should go sit in the corner because I'm anti-American.
Wow.
I walked in the corner making a bunch of noise.
Well, so how do you differentiate that? How do you say, I live in America and, this is where I choose to be and this is where I choose to speak out and this is the land that protects my right to do that.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, talk about that. I mean, because I think a lot of people are having a difficult time distinguishing between I want to kill all Americans and I want to, challenge Americans' policies and I want to challenge what's going on in America and what I have become complicit in just by living here.
Yeah, I think it's complete bull crap the way people treat me.
It's okay, you can swear.
Yeah, bull, you know, deal.
And the way they've just kind of blindly gone into this fear mode, and they're all waving their
flags. All waving their flags. It's flag wars where we live. They're just like, bigger flag, the better. Everyone.
Yeah.
Right. Well, what do you tell someone that challenges that? I mean, what do you tell someone that tells you that you have to say the Pledge of Allegiance?
The true case is I'm the true American. I mean, I'm the one standing up for what, I mean, America was supposed to be, you know, the Constitution, the original mm-hmm. Constitution. I mean, I'm standing up for, I mean, freedom of speech, my, you know, my First Amendment right, I'm standing up for it. I mean, I feel like they're the ones breaking the Constitution.
Right, and you actually, I mean, it's not like you just kind of flippantly, like, tossed this out there. I mean, you did some research on what your rights were.
Oh, yeah, actually, after I'd been thrown out of class, I researched a bunch of stuff online on the ACLU's website about students and their rights, and I gave it to a teacher, and he told me that he doesn't care what the law is and get out of his class if I'm not going to stand for the pledge. I know.
And he threw it in the trash.
He threw it in the trash. He didn't even read it. He didn't even read it. Even.
Right. But basically, I want you to say the Pledge of Allegiance to a flag that protects the rights that I'm throwing into the garbage.
Yeah. That makes no sense at all.
Because he had worked out a deal with you, right? Like, what was the deal?
Sort of. After I was in the principal's office, after I was given detention and everything, we came to a solution. They suggested that, okay, well, maybe I should just stand outside since I'm making such a big deal about this. I should just stand outside.
As opposed to just sitting down.
Yeah, opposed to just sitting down. I should just stand outside, which is more of being disruptful. They were like, oh, you're being disruptful in class, and I wasn't. I was sitting there just totally quiet. That's all I wanted to do also.
Several students said that's all he did. I went to the school and asked kids.
Right.
I said, no, he just wanted to sit there.
Yeah, so now...
This is when light attention.
Oh, yeah,
no, give me
attention. Not at all. So now whenever the flag salute comes on, I have to get up and walk outside in November. It's like freezing cold, and it's like early in the morning, and I'm out there freezing, and I decide that I just want to research the laws. I mean, this guy's a complete asshole. I don't want to deal with this crap anymore, so I just go online, and I research some laws, and I find out, you know, that, yeah... Wait a second, what was I talking about before?
No, it's cool. No, you find that, yeah, that it is absolutely your right
to
abstain from saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I just gave him this paperwork stuff. Sorry about that.
He gave it to the principal, too, and I don't think she even really read it.
No.
It's only now.
She probably just threw it away, too.
You know, what's happened is we filed a complaint after this issue with the teacher throwing this information in the trash and declaring in front of the class, I don't care what the law is. Get out of my class if you're not going to say the pledge.
Right.
We filed a complaint with the district. The district superintendent gave him a warning. And we felt that was inadequate. A man
right.
that would throw a kid's research in the trash and say that.
Right. I think people are afraid, I think, number one, of, you know, information, and number two, to have it in such young hands, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it would have been a different thing if a lawyer would have walked in and given them that paper, but to have a 13-year-old come in and say, I know my rights, watch out, you know, jump back.
They're kind of afraid of me for speaking
there
out.
There are people who are afraid to empower the
yeah.
youth of this country because,
right.
you know, they want them to be brainwashed. They want them to
yeah.
be little foot soldiers in their war, you know, against liberation and against, you know, want them to empower consumerism and, you know, want
yeah.
them to buy, especially
yeah.
now when most teenagers have all their own money, you know.
Yeah, just send your money and
spend your allowance on an SUV.
Yes, buy yourself an SUV and go live in the suburbs.
Yeah. So what do you think about that, Jim? What do you think about education right now? And, I mean, you've been through a couple of different right. kinds of education. I mean, if you could have your ideal way of educating, I mean, as someone that's still in the process, I mean, what's your ideal system right now?
Well, right now, I mean, I believe public school is actually a really great place, and the teachers interacted with the children, actually, instead of just being mindless zombies. And
mental detectors.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Metal detectors.
Exactly. Crowd control. If they actually, like, were nice to the students and encourage them, and instead of throwing their information in the trash they gave you, and, you know, just things like that, I mean.
That would be your idea.
But. No, if they actually did that, I mean, then school would be great, but I mean,
actually
right,
talk to you, engage in a dialogue.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. I mean,
that's
like,
totally
become a friend,
yeah.
actually, you know, I mean, not just like, okay, get a good grade, or maybe not even, I don't even care that much, I just want to get my paycheck, get out of here.
Yeah.
And just kind of like zombies, but right now, I mean, in my personal experiences, right now for me, homeschooling is working out, I mean, the best. I mean, I'd never go back to that school again, probably, just because, I mean, of the abuse they put me through, but I mean, I just want to do homeschool now. And I mean, I'm taking two college classes at our local college, Mendocino College, and I'm taking American Civilization and English 12.
American Civilization.
I've already taken a biology class.
You are not fit to be an American Civilization.
Yes. Now, check this out. The teacher that teaches it, Irmas Caldwell, he's an awesome lecturer.
I took a biology
totally
class from him. I took a biology class from him when I was 11. I got a C.
The subtitle of this class, American Civilization, is The Issues and the People.
Oh, wow.
And we know it's going to be a really dynamic
it's
class.
Gonna be, it's going to be awesome.
And Jim's gone through.
Wow.
She's probably going to be totally bashing.
I mean, and now one of the things that your teacher, was it Mr. Levain?
David Levain.
David Levain, your social studies teacher, eighth grade social teacher. He told you you didn't belong, right? I mean, he told you that you didn't belong in the school, you didn't belong in the class.
Yeah. And he said, if you're not going to stand up for the Pledge of Allegiance and get out of my class, we don't need you here. I mean, he told me that I should go home and go on independent study or something. And that's exactly what I'm doing now. Thank you for the suggestion.
I mean, but how does that feel, you know, because I think that we've seen in the last couple of years, within the last decade or so, a lot of tragedies that have occurred at a lot of schools, and typically the people involved were, labeled by the community as outsiders, as you don't belong, you're not normal.
Yeah.
And, there's a lot of theories as to why these, school shootings and school, massacres basically have occurred, you know, but, I mean, I'm really interested in hearing your perspective on that as someone that's right in the middle of it right now.
Going crazy?
Well, and especially as someone that doesn't fit the status quo.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I think that's what's wrong is that they see that he doesn't fit in, and it scares them. It makes them think of those things that they
I feel
in
just
the media.
Some people can't handle being an outcast, and sometimes they just snap or something. I mean, they can't handle just can't handle not being popular and not fitting in and not looking the same. And people when they start, being mean to them and saying bad stuff to them, and sometimes I guess they just can't handle it. They get depressed.
Yeah.
It's like everyone's against them, yeah.
But, I mean, you get harassed, right?
Oh, I get harassed all the time. A ton of people in my town harass me. Sucks.
Yeah, I mean, what would your, if somebody came to you and was like, we are developing a way to prevent, anything like this from ever happening again in any other school, I mean, and they asked you for advice on how to do that, what would you say? Like, what's a way to reach people that are feeling like they're being ostracized and, like, cut out from their school communities?
Just for teachers if anything, just keep their, like, mean opinions to themselves and neutralize situations rather than, support one side.
Yeah.
Take sides and stuff and just, like, neutralize situations. But, I mean, also to just, like I said, just be nice to the students and encourage them with everything they're doing. I mean, just, it's right on. I mean, unless they're doing, like, horrible stuff, like like really bad things. I mean, but they should
be
encourage
nice to
them,
the animals.
Put them up rather than put them down. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on. Right on. I definitely agree with that opinion.
I heard a kid tell me, because we've been talking about this a lot, and this one young man told me that in school in the first several years they encourage you so much and try to build you up in everything's self-esteem and this and that, and then all of a sudden you hit middle school and you're treated like this piece of crap.
Yeah.
And here they've gone and they've raised you and tried to make you independent, and then they spend the rest of your school time tearing you up.
Yeah. But in this school, even in fourth grade, personally, this was my experience, the teacher, for some reason, I was in fourth grade, we moved, and I was in fourth grade, so I got to Terrace Middle, I got to Terrace School, like, halfway through the year.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher just, like, I had green hair. I had all green hair, and I was in fourth grade. And the teacher just...
special boy.
I love that song.
The teacher just completely, like, singled me out and was just, like, a real jerk to me. And she was horrible. She, like, I got trash canned once, and she just stood by and watched it. I got trash canned by, like, a bunch of really big kids. And just, like, she just, like, watched and didn't even do anything, even when I told her. And
said,
Yeah, she really did stand by, and... We had a little talk, and she said, I don't think Jim really respects me.
Well,
and I said,
what reason do you give me to?
I had watched him get put in a trash can.
That's so ridiculous.
Respect?
And I really would agree with that, because I think when you ask, because I'm a teacher, and I think, typically when you ask teachers what grades they want to teach, they shy away from those formative years, when people are still developing, because they feel like kids that age are like loose cannons, and they're just, people get scared.
They're
Yeah.
I mean, what else do you think contributes to that? I mean, there's been a lot of publicity in the media, you know, surrounding schools and what goes on in schools and the way kids are portrayed in high schools and in middle schools. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, some people portray teenagers as these kind of scary, you know, they need their after-school programs because they're getting into drugs and whatnot. These evil teens, they're all over the streets, and that might kind of create a little, you know, image for them that they have to live up to in the community, you know, or something. They just feel kind of weird, you know.
They just look at you like you're trouble.
Yeah.
In our community,
you are trouble,
skateboarders
boy.
Are the you big
trouble.
Criminals.
I know, I'm evil.
Skateboarders
horrible,
are huge
horrible.
Criminals in our community.
Oh, my God. That's
is
like
it, now that is totally
enemy.
Ridiculous.
It's so huge. It's like they...
My upstairs neighbor, he was showing me his intake bag because we were comparing our intake bags for getting arrested. And he got arrested for skateboarding on the sidewalk, you know, and was processed in the whole nine yards. And it's just ridiculous.
Tons of people, I mean, like all where we live around, I mean, people get put in jail for like 6 months for skateboarding, stuff like that. Just like
6 months?
Stuff. Yeah. Like
that's me walking on federal property.
Yeah.
My God. And then there's corporate billionaires out there at Enron and WorldCom that are taking away millions of dollars from families and the elderly
and
pension funds.
I mean, why don't they just go find some real criminals or something? I mean,
there's some users.
Oh, yeah. There's like
some,
people like that. There's like heroin dealers on every street. I mean, why can't they just go find some real criminals and actually do their job?
I would agree
harass
with that.
All the time.
I'd agree with that.
All they do is,
So do you feel like, I mean, what are your thoughts on, I mean, because you've talked a little bit about the flag and like what the flag, you know, why you don't really feel like you should be forced to do that. I mean, is it also something that you feel like the flag represents to you that is an extension of a larger thing, like within the government and within, you know, Bush's kind of regime?
Yeah, exactly. I do believe the flag is a symbol of the government. I believe the government is, I mean, corrupt. I believe they're, I mean, horrible. They just wailing and stomping, and you know, it's just like their dream to go as far as you can and get as much land and as much money as you can. It just it seems horrible. I mean,
now your mom was telling me a story about how when you were nine, you had a little investment account going. Why don't you? I think that would be interesting for people to know that this wasn't
my father, my dear father, encouraged me to invest in. I had some money in an anonymous bank and
anonymous bank, which will not be mentioned.
Yes. I had some money in there, and my dad encouraged me to like invest because he's all into investing and stuff. I mean, you've got like investments and like Raytheon and stuff, and I mean, so kind of get an idea of that, but it's like it's just he encouraged me to invest, and so I was just like, okay, fine. So I just like, you know, invested like $200 in something, and then like a while later they came out this newsletter and said they were investing in Disneyland and talking about how great Walt Disney is and everything.
Ooh.
You know,
did you know that Walt Disney used to, during World War II, he was commissioned by the government to make atomic war bomb, you know, missile head cartoons for kids that would make, that was like war propaganda for children. Yeah, it was like the dancing Adam. Mr. Adam, look, he's dancing, kids. Wouldn't you like to dance with him? And, you know, like crazy shit like that.
That's
so
horrible.
Yeah.
This newsletter had a card in it. Tell him about that, too.
What was the guy's name again?
Eisner?
Yeah, Michael Eisner.
You could write a question. Ask him.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm just going to finish this really quick, but after I, you know, found this out, I just took my money out of there because I don't support, you know, NAFTA, you know, I don't support the WTO, I don't support the World Trade Organization and going into other countries and exploiting people like that. I don't approve of that, so I took my money out of there, but also in there was this little, like, thing you could write any question to. What was his name again? Michael
Eisner.
Eisner. I keep forgetting his last name. Okay, it's a weird Eisner thingy.
Very white name.
So I decided to write a thing. I was like, why are you doing this? This is horrible. And I sent a letter to him. He never replied. That jerk.
I'm taking my money back.
Why are you paying people in Burma 11 cents for Pocahontas pajamas that you're selling for $30?
Yeah, why do you know that?
What's with that?
Label.
He's like, who are you? He basically forwarded that to the government. I just want you to know that, Jim. Basically, you're on a list right now.
Yes, I know.
They have your address. They know where you live. They know where you sleep at night. I think that's a pretty amazing position for a 13-year-old. And at the time, you were 9, right, when you had that investment thing going on. That's pretty amazing for someone your age to kind of have formed these opinions about the world around you.
Thank you.
I mean, is this, you know, do you, how did that happen? I'm really interested.
How did that happen? Yeah. Well, I mean, I just like,
your mom must be some crazy radical, man.
Well, she is kind of, in a way, to an extent.
We were at sea when he was conceived.
Yeah, exactly. It might be a little crazy.
I see.
But,
yeah. But,
she's like, thanks, Mom.
Yeah.
No, that's okay.
What was the question?
How did you become such an amazing kid?
Why do I always forget things all the time?
I don't know. That must also have something to be something to do with why you were conceived.
I have so much on my mind. I just always forget things. Okay, so the question was, how did I get this way? Ooh, I remembered it. Okay. How I got this way by Jim Woodbury. Well, I've always just been interested in just reading and stuff in general and just learning about things.
Gasp, not TV?
I know. TV for 7 years.
Oh, my
years.
God, I know.
Oh, my God.
Kill your TV. Kill your
you
TV.
Really are anti-American.
The only thing that's
you're
good
on American
is Simpsons. The Simpsons. God, the Simpsons are greatest.
The Simpsons are awesome. But get the DVD and get rid of cable. Kill cable.
Kill cable. I like that one.
Yeah, but okay, so... Well, I've always just been kind of interested in learning about, you know, different stuff, different forms of government and stuff. But I guess one big thing was just made me learn a lot more about communism and different, you know, forms of government also. And was my dad gave me this book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which is about this guy that's got, like...
Rich Dad, Poor Dad? Are you sure it's like the communist Dr. Seuss book?
Yes.
Like Hop on
he's
Pop?
He's got this character who's like the guy that's writing the book. He's got this dad who's kind of poor, and he just goes to a regular job and works for someone. But then his friend's got this rich dad that owns the corporation that his dad works for. And they're talking about how great it is to be a capitalist and own the corporation rather than, you know,
play the
work
way
for
in the bowels
it.
Of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly. And they're just talking about how great that is and how you should do that. And it's just talking about Donald Trump and, like, all this stuff and how... And I just
God,
went
what
to my mom
awful.
And I said... Mom, these capitalist people sound like real jerks, real mean people. And she said, well, you can read about it if you want. And just like, no, just like, okay. And so I just read about it and learned about communism, read the Communist Manifesto and just all sorts of stuff.
13 years old and he's read the Communist Manifesto.
Actually, I was like,
my teacher told me.
I was like 10, I was like 10 or 11 when I read the Communist Manifesto, actually. But I'm planning on reading it again because I'm...
Because it's good stuff.
Yeah, it is.
It's good stuff. And plus, you know, every time you read it, there's
I'll
a
probably,
different interpretation.
Yeah, I'll probably understand it better this time even.
Yeah, definitely. That's pretty amazing. Well, speaking of which, we've got some a favorite group that we'd like
group,
to play
flag,
in honor of Jim Woodbury and his family.
Actually, mostly this radio station.
And this radio station.
In honor of this radio station.
San Francisco Liberation Radio!
Yay!
93.7, this is Anti-Flag, and this is in honor not only of SFLR, but also our wonderful guests who come in to defend the rights of free speech in our country, which of course is definitely extends to SFLR as we struggle in solidarity with Berkeley Liberation Radio, our sisters and brothers over in the East Bay. So, Anti-Flag, check it out. You're listening to SFLR News. We want to thank the Woodburys for coming in.
You're welcome.
Hopefully you won't get in any more trouble. Well, hopefully you will. And then you can
no!
All right,
no.
Peace out.
No more trouble.
We'll come back.
We'll be back.